Back on downtown, just a little over 24 hours away from opening night for the Boston Celtics. And to talk more about that, we're joined by John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal. Look, we know the team's ready. Are you ready for opening night?
Oh, I was born ready for opening night. This is big. I love it. This is going to be a fun season, so I'm really looking forward to it.
The roster is set with the recent move and Jabari Parker going away. Or is it? Might there still be one last move to be made?
Well, that 14th, they've got 14 spots filled, so the 15th spot is open. So it's possible that they could do something. They just filled their second two-way slot, so the guaranteed spot is the one that's open. I would be surprised if they filled it right now. They're a team that's mindful of the salary, the luxury tax, I should say. And if they're going to be making moves, which I would expect them to later on, potentially 10-day contracts or trades, maybe an unbalanced trade that brings back one more player that they send out, having that open roster spot is very helpful. Because let's say they signed somebody now, and then they wanted to make a one-for-two trade, you'd have to waive somebody, and that money stays on the books. They don't want dead money on the books when they're trying to clear money away to save on the luxury bill. So I think for now they keep that spot open. They go into the season with 14. And then in December and then moving towards February, when trades can happen and 10 days can start getting signed, then we might see something happen.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Enjoyed your one-on-one with Ime Udoka. I thought it was really interesting when you asked him if he's at night when he lies down, if he's able to kind of take a deep breath and realize where he is and think about it. And he wanted no part of that.
No. I'm thinking just for myself, you know, I even as a member of the media will stand there on the court every once in a while and look up and look around and be like, yeah, this is awesome. He does not allow himself that moment though. He's always focused on the preparation, always focused on what's next. Doesn't want to let his guard down, basically. I think the moment that you feel a sense of satisfaction is the moment he feels like you're going to lose your edge. So more power to him, man. That's a tough mindset to have, because I definitely am a believer in taking a step back, you know, that take a moment to smell the roses and all that stuff. But he's very, very focused and is trying to accomplish a goal. And I think even if they win a championship, he'll allow his moment to celebrate after once the parade is done, he'll get to work on the next season. Like, he's not going to be out there partying way too much. So it's an interesting mindset, and it's probably one that's gotten him to this point.
Obviously, he knows he's been around the game for a long time, and he talked about liking this team and their character and their work ethic and all of that. But having said that, how important was it to keep them tuning into him to do what he did with Marcus Smart last week?
Yeah, I think stuff like that is important. You know, you come in here and you're talking about discipline. You're talking about running a team that is accountable. And so when you have this moment where Marcus Smart misses a team flight, then you are kind of tested right away. Mm. So if the rest of the team is looking like, okay, Marcus Smart, you're your starting point guard, one of the vocal leaders on this team, the longest tenured Celtic, he misses a team flight. What are you going to do, Ime? And so holding that guy to the fire is important. I think it's important for him to, even when it comes to somebody like Grant Williams, to kind of bench him in part for, you know, yelling at the referee and blowing an assignment and getting dunked on by Bam Adebayo. I think those moments add up, and the rest of the team is watching what Ime Udoka does. So the early tests are important, and I think he's passed those tests. And I think the team understands, like, you got to fall in line when it comes to doing the basic things, and then the rest will fall into place.
Do you have a feel yet for what this team will be like? What character will they take on? Often teams pick up something from their head coach. Will there be a specific style or approach to the game that you think might be unique to him?
Yeah, I think if there is one, we're going to see maybe a little bit more focus. Like that complaining to the referee thing is something that we're used to with players like Jason Tatum. I think if we see these guys let those things go and focus on the next play, then that will be part of the personality for Mimi Udoka that they take on. It is too early to kind of see exactly who they're going to be, though, because he wants ball movement and fast pace. And without having had Al Horford due to COVID, Jaylen Brown due to COVID, Smart because of that one suspension, and he already had a game off anyway, so but Smart only played two games. It's been tough for them to kind of gel and try to play the style of basketball that he's been preaching. So if anything, they will be fast-paced. If we see them moving the ball a lot and some high assist numbers, then that will definitely be an Udoka influence. But I think right now I'm looking for more of a business-like approach. Go in there, do your job, get it done, get out, and be done with it. No histrionics. That would definitely be Udoka's personality.
Well, knowing that the team is certainly not whole at this point, you've got the Knicks in the opener tomorrow night, but really it's likely to be a while before we get any kind of a sense of how good this team might be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to take a little bit. You know, even if Jaylen Brown plays, which at this point I'm still not sure of, Al Horford's definitely out. So they're not going to be at full strength. We don't know who they are, like I said. It's going to be tough. It's going to take like an extra couple of weeks or so for us to fully get a sense of what the rotation is, who's in, who's out. You know, Josh Richardson didn't look great in the preseason, but does that matter? How did he look in practice? We don't know. Same with Juancho Hernan Gomez, who started in the first preseason game and was kind of blocked ever since. So we need to see this team at full strength so we can figure out what are the rotations, where does Aaron Nesmith fit, where does Romeo Langford fit, where do these other guys fit, what kind of minutes are these guys going to play, and then what kind of different defensive rotations are they going to run? Like, we saw a super heavy switching thing, which Udoka admitted was like, hey, we're overdoing it here. We're overdoing it to make sure they get the sense of, you know, this is how we want to do it. They have other defensive coverages that they want to throw in there. So they are behind. That's the one thing that we get out of this preseason, is that they were not able to do everything they wanted to do. So they are behind. It's going to take a little time for them to catch up.
So, yeah, Marcus Smart misses a plane, sure, but at least he's not Ben Simmons.
That saga in Philly is so wild. I was talking about this on the Locked On NBA podcast where, you know, staying away, it's very easy to stay away and be out of sight, out of mind, and hold out and all of that stuff. The team can move on without you.
Right.
If he really wants to be disruptive, he had to show up in camp. And it's not even about the money. It's about just being there and being a distraction. This is not what the Philadelphia 76ers wanted to be talking about, kicking him out of a practice because he didn't want to participate in defensive drills. You know, now, instead of talking about preparation for their first game and where they are as a team, they're talking about Ben Simmons again. So he's really challenging Daryl Morey. He's really challenging the team. And this is a game of chickens. One of these guys is going to have to swerve. And if they don't, it's going to be a train wreck. It's going to be a big, ugly crash. And this is a tough spot for Philly because they're running towards the end of the whole process. You only get a few more years of Embiid at his peak. And after that, it's time to move on. And the East has gotten a lot better. There's nothing guaranteed. They can't just sit there and say, we're going to coast and still finish at the top of the East. If this doesn't go well, they could see themselves as a sixth or seventh seed, a play-in team. So they have to be careful.
John, have you recovered yet from the stress of having to pick every single game for the whole season?
One of the cornerstones of the Locked On Celtics podcast, the every game. No, it is an absurd exercise. It really is an absurd thing for us to do. But me, Jay King, Sam Packard, we all get together before the season and pick every game. It's basically 2.5 hours of podcasting split between two podcasts. So, it's going to take a while for me to recover from that, especially since I overdid it and picked 53 wins. By the time we got the total at the end, I was like, I was way too optimistic about some of this. I got to dial it back some.
Well, check that out, the Rain and Jay's podcast. Check out Locked On Celtics and, of course, everything John does on Boston Sports Journal. And you can go to YouTube as well and see his one-on-one conversation with Coach Ime Udoka. Opening night tomorrow night. We'll be following what you have to say about it, John. Appreciate it as always, and we'll visit again next Wednesday.
You got it, man.